I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, the headlines continue to be how we demonize those that we disagree with. We weaponize words and differences. We draw lines between us. We devalue the diversity that makes us strong. Could the answer to all of this be found in a thing called holy envy? Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again.
Well, this is one of my favorite things, and I am so excited. I've been looking forward to this conversation with Barbara Brown Taylor. She is the New York Times bestselling author of a number of books, one in particular, Holy Envy, Finding God in the Faith of Others, which is so powerful. She's also a former Episcopal priest. She has taught world religions at Piedmont College for over 20 years. And she is here with the Wheatley Institute. And we'll talk about that event in just a moment. But Barbara, thank you for carving out some time for us on, I know, what is a very busy and very hectic day for you.
I'm happy to talk to you before the snow comes.
Yes, exactly. It's all about beating the snow is the real key. And you are here with the Wheatley Institute. You're the keynote speaker at the 7th Annual Student Conference on Religion in the Public Square. And obviously those importance of religious literacy and function, how that functions in a healthy democracy. But I want to start with this whole idea of holy envy. Because it's one of my favorite things to look at and explore. And so just take us for a minute on your journey to holy envy.
I heard the phrase before I ever knew who said it or where or why. And I loved it. It was like good grief or freeze or burn. It was just words put together that didn't belong together. And it also is what I was already experiencing in my world religions class, which included a lot of site visits to other people's places of faith, whether that was educational, religious, or about social involvement. So I was already experiencing envy when I traveled. I'm a Christian, and I would go to a mosque and watch people pray with their whole bodies and be envious of that. Or I'd watch quiet people on meditation cushions praying for peace around the world in their own language. And at any rate, I was envious. I taught students who were largely Christian and who experienced the same thing but felt bad about it. They felt like it was treasonous to find anything beautiful in another tradition. So holy envy sounded like a key concept to me. And I discovered it had a lot to do with BYU, where Christer Stendahl, who became Bishop of the Church of Sweden after his visit, he came here in 1978 for an interfaith conference. And in Stockholm, when there was a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints temple being built in Stockholm, there was local consternation about that. And he was called to the microphone to speak to the tension in the community, predominantly Lutheran country that has been welcoming of immigrants from all over the world, but there was something scary to them about this huge, gorgeous temple being built in one of their suburbs. So to cut to the chase, he walked up to the microphone and proposed three rules for religious understanding. The first being, if you want to understand another religion, ask its adherents and not its enemies. And the second was, don't compare your best to their worst. And the third was, leave room for holy envy. And that's all he said about that. So he went on to demonstrate it by actually writing for Mormon publications and writing for the encyclopedia about the practice of baptism of the dead, which he found touching as a Lutheran who didn't have anything like that practice in his own tradition. So he put his life, his education, and his publishing skills To work on that. Yeah, it's a lovely story. So I just made it my own in the class, and we can talk about that later.
I absolutely love that, and we experience that regularly on this show. Just last week, we had Bishop Phyllis Spiegel, who is new to the state of Utah, the Episcopal Bishop for the state of Utah. We also had last year the Archbishop Elpidophoros from the Greek Orthodox Church of America join us, and just so many opportunities to learn those nuances and those powerful things. And I know one of the things that you're going to be doing while you're here is helping these students recognize how that holy envy and that valuing the differences can actually help us, not just in terms of religious liberty and freedom, but actually in terms of liberty and democracy.
Yeah, and there are constitutional scholars who will come in later and be able to talk about that with far more intelligence than I. But my topic is holy envy as common good, and that's the case I'll be trying to make, is that at its best, the what are called the great religions of the world, you know, the ones that last, have all got teachings in them about how you treat people who don't belong to your faith. And the religions that last have all got loopholes about welcoming strangers and praying for people who wish to be your enemy, and trying to lessen the suffering of all sentient beings. And they've all got ways in which they face the common good and not only their own good. So we'll be talking about that, and about ways also that if students are people of strong faith, this can strengthen their faith. Yeah. I think a lot of students worry it'll loosen their faith, but sometimes a person of another faith will ask you a question about your own that nobody in your own has ever asked you. The Trinity is a tricky one for me, you know. Mm. Jews and Muslims will say to me, we don't get how three is one. Could you tell us how one is three and three is one? And then I have to go beyond, you know, my easy metaphor. So it's also a great challenge to learn more about my own tradition and how I can talk about that to other people and listen to them while they tell me about theirs.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and that's I love both components of that. One, you don't really know what you believe or think until you have to explain it to someone who doesn't understand. But then that real listening, because I when it comes to the holy envy department, so much of it happens when you truly, truly listen to someone, which I think is one of the most holiest things we can do for another person, especially when they're sharing about their faith.
Yes, that was one of the most fun class assignments, was interview someone of another faith. But you have to lead with these three questions. What's most important to you about your faith? What story from your text or teachings is the heart of the faith for you? And then what do other people get wrong about you most often? And after that, we're usually off to the races.
Oh, I love that. Those are questions we all could come back to, and in a host of different settings, which I think is also an important part of the equation. I do want to make a quick note, and that is because of the snow that is coming, the event tonight is, rather than being an in-person event on the BYU campus, it's going to be a virtual event. And you can check that out. Anybody can join that. You can go to Wheatley, Wheatley, our friends at the Wheatley Institute, wheatley.byu.edu, and participate and listen to Barbara Brown Taylor as she shares some of this extraordinary insight. And Barbara, I'd love to have you share, give us one of those wow moments, those holy envy moments in your journey that were just really stunning, really surprising to you.
You know, the one that leaps out, I didn't know you were going to ask that, but on 9/11, we had a trip to the masjid in Atlanta, a Muslim mosque, and debated about whether to cancel it or not in the wake of all the consternation after the Twin Towers came down. And we decided to go with the president's permission and parental permission. And when we got there, the place was just overwhelmed with media, TVs, probably 800 worshipers in the space, and that swelled by another couple hundred people from the media. So I heard my first sermon on 9/11 from a Muslim imam who called us to unity, to not being run by fear. The students listened like they never listened to me. And at the end of the service, I was back in the women's section, but we were mobbed by people wanting to hug us and kiss our cheeks. And they said, thank you for coming here and coming to see for yourself who we are. And I get chills even telling you about what that was like, to go so afraid and end up so embraced.
Wow. Just wow. That, listeners, that is what holy envy looks like and sounds like. And we appreciate you sharing that. Then give us one last thought before we let you go, Barbara, to beat the snow. What is it? What's the, we always get to the therefore what question on this show. So when you're done with the students here, and we've got students coming in from around the country to be part of this. And what's the therefore what? What do you hope they do different, think different, feel different after this experience?
You know, I think always in a classroom setting, and I consider this a variation on one, to lead with curiosity, to be as ready to have a listen to someone as to have a talk with them, and also to practice something the world religions have in common, which is to do unto others as you have them do unto you, because I think that's a natural path to holy envy. Lead with curiosity, give other people the benefit of the doubt, and do unto them as you'd have them do unto you. So that would be my hope, and I hope they take that in ways I've never even dreamed of.
I love that, that curiosity, and we all should do that today. Lead with curiosity and have a listen. Really experience it. I just absolutely love that. Barbara Brown Taylor, New York Times bestselling author. If you want just a fantastic read, Holy Envy, Finding God in the Faith of Others. So powerful. Again, she's here part of the events at the Wheatley Institute. You can check those out online at wheatley.edu.byu. And Barbara, we thank you so much for giving us some things to think about and reflect on, and some good therefore what questions to walk away with. We'll continue our journey of curiosity towards holy envy, and we'll do it a little better because of your help. Thank you for being with us today.
You warm my heart. Thank you.
All right. That's Barbara Brown Taylor. And again, big friends, thanks to our friends at the Wheatley Institute. This is an important conversation. Would love to be the fly on the wall for these students as they experience Barbara. And again, this is part of the Wheatley Institute's 7th Annual Student Conference on Religion in the Public Sphere. And just important conversation. Students will be coming from all around the country to spend a week workshopping and working that through. And it's just an extraordinary effort. It's an important thing for all of us to recognize. We all have some space for some holy envy for those who might think different, look different, believe different than we do. And it's something we should lean into, not shy away from.
Think Again with Lloyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.